All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up? He couldn't even. I got him before his first word. He couldn't even get one word out. One of us is a professional, and the other's got the giggles. What's up with that?
Look, I gotta leave that in. I turned away to the board to start recording, and I turned back, and Penn has put on bottle cap sunglasses, yet again continuing his sunglasses of magnificence.
I told you it's gonna be my new thing. I'm wearing sunglasses 24/7. I'm sleeping in the sunglasses.
He wears his sunglasses to bed.
Right.
Oh my word. Okay, you got me.
All right.
So anyway, I'm David Moulton. And that's Penn Ketchum. What's
right.
up?
Are you ready now? Now are you ready? What's
I'm
up?
Ready. All right. I'm ready. How you doing? How you holding up with your sunglasses all over your face? And
yeah. You know, it's funny because we're sitting here, we're sort of chuckling about the sunglasses a little bit. But it sort of says everything right now, right? Like, how am I doing? Like, hey, man, I'm just trying to find my way to amuse myself and find things to do and try to make a light out of this and sort of, I don't know, man, it's hard. But yeah, I mean, we're okay. We're celebrating Mother's Day today. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. One of your two co-hosts here.
Yeah.
We're not going to name names because we don't want to embarrass anybody.
Oh yeah.
But one of us has a mother who regularly listens to the show, comments, shares, supports, is enthusiastic, and one of us has a mother who we love, but does not know what a podcast is and cannot bring herself
to learn
to manage that on the phone. So, you know, whatever. But happy Mother's Day to both of them.
Yeah.
I know that you love your mother like I love mine, and we're both really lucky. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there and to all our listeners. If you're listening to this and you forgot Mother's Day, it's cool because I have just the thing for you. What you want to do is you want to go get a Mother's Day card. They're all on sale now because it's like you missed it.
Yeah.
And give it to your mom and tell her it's early for next year.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. So that's the game plan in case you're struggling.
You're full of all the good ideas.
Stick with me, David. Yeah. Stick with me. And then there's the classic... I don't know. This is usually only funny to the guys. So I'll just like say that as like a warning. But my father-in-law always says, I tell him, hey, Bob, did you get Bonnie something? Are you ready for, you know, it's Mother's Day next week. You ready? And he always goes, what? She's not my mother.
Oh, man.
No, wow. He's a joker. He takes good care of Bonnie, but it's always fun. He's always got a way with words and a funny little insight there.
Wow. Well, on this great and wonderful Mother's Day, we've got news for you.
Thank God.
Segue.
Big news.
Big news. I know all of you out there are all like, CBS All Access. Why should I care?
Right. All CBS all the time.
All the time. I want full access right now. All they had going for him was really Star Trek, in my opinion. I guess some people like Twilight Zone. I can't really think of anything else other people were logging on for. But
how many dozens of people do you think watched Picard?
Three dozen.
Yeah.
I'm just distracted by it. Looks like my beard is like there's nothing here. It's fully there, I promise. I don't know why.
See, you're making a classic rookie mistake. I'm full of advice this week.
Okay, I gotta hide my picture, eh?
Yeah, that's what you gotta do. You gotta pull the show notes over and hide your picture because it's human nature. Did we talk about this last week? Like Zoom calls are actually not productive. Like they're great for catching up with your family or just talking to grandma or whatever. But like if you're doing something important, like week 68 of the Penn Cinema podcast, you gotta cover up your own picture or else you're gonna be distracted. It's human nature. It's not ego or it doesn't mean that you're vain. It's just human nature. You look at yourself.
Yeah. That's true. I sidetrack here. I saw a Zoom thing where it was like a guy sitting like, you know, with his hand on his chin, just like staring really attentively.
Right.
And then it was just like a picture and it fell back and he was like sitting back further in the room. He's like, oh crap, he ran up. Had to put the picture back up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So CBS All Access is starting to show Paramount films through their streaming service, trying to make themselves a little bit more competitive in the TV movie / streaming environment that we're now getting more and more of. I know. They don't have all Paramount stuff, just select things for right now. I don't know. CBS All Access, man. I don't know what to say.
Okay, I'll look at it from the other way. I'll look at the other side of that same coin. All right, man. Paramount Films. I don't know what to say. you look at like Disney and you immediately think of like Marvel and all the princesses and all the incredible library that they have, and you look at Warner Brothers and you think of Harry Potter and you think of the Dark Knight trilogy and so many things. Even like you look at Lionsgate, you know, they all have these. You know, you look at Universal, and then they got the Fast and Furious franchise, among others. And you look at Paramount. What does Paramount have? The first Transformers?
Star Trek.
Okay, I'll give you that. That's pretty good. But, okay, so you got Star Trek and Transformers and what?
Yeah.
SpongeBob?
None of them are really producing, like, new content right now, but I don't know.
All right, well, whatever. I don't know. CBS All Access. I feel like... I don't know. Is CBS, I don't know if this is fact or just perception, but I feel like CBS is the ugly stepchild of the network TV. Like you got NBC, that's where all the good comedies are. And you got ABC, and that's where all like the game show and live, you know, reality shows and everything. And you got Fox, and they got all the sports and reality shows. What's on CBS? Like forget All Access. Let's just talk about CBS.
What is on CBS? On TV?
Yeah.
Isn't CBS like, don't they have this CSI stuff?
NCIS
or, I don't know.
Yeah, you might be right.
When I think CBS, I think weekday afternoon viewership.
And they got that old person show that everybody watches Sunday mornings.
Hardball? Which one is it?
No, I think it's like... Good Morning Today or something. CBS This Morning, I think.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who's actually my exact same age or very close said he started watching that on Sunday mornings, and we both agreed that's how we knew that he was officially old.
Wow. And you guys are only 23.
Right. All right, so Alamo On Demand has a streaming service now with movies only recommended by their staff. Drafthouse movies plus films from Lionsgate, Neon, and Magnolia. What do you make of this?
So for those who don't know, Alamo Drafthouse is a theater chain that, well, it's not in Pennsylvania area much, at least not in central PA, but it's bigger metropolitan areas. They have them. And they're known for the art for being kind of like art housey, and then as well as also their big shtick is they serve meals in the
theater. They invented the dine-in model.
Yeah. Yeah, that's their like big thing. There's been controversy with them.
They're incredibly well respected. They're really held as one of the top exhibitors in the world.
Yeah. So now they've decided to have a streaming service for new stuff as well as older things, but all of it's other than the stuff from Drafthouse, because they have their own publishing house now. Other than that stuff, everything that'll be on their service will be curated by staff of Alamo Drafthouse, like I guess voted upon whether or not it should be on their streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the equivalent of me saying, like, check out my Spotify playlist. Also, you owe me $5 every right. time you want to listen to it.
Well, how good is your playlist?
Well, I mean, give me $5 and check it out.
So, you know when your friend who you don't like
yeah.
does something and you're like incredibly annoyed by it?
Uh-huh.
Right? But then your other friend who you do like does the exact same thing and you're like, oh, that's cool.
So what's right. this?
So let's talk about the fact that Alamo is now making their own content.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if the headline was Regal opens a movie studio?
Yeah. Well, how long has Drafthouse been around?
A while. I mean, they're not brand new.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up. See what they.
I think the difference is that Alamo Drafthouse has earned the respect and the credibility so that people know that they're sort of doing it in the spirit of doing the right thing. And they're the big difference or the big thing that makes it okay is that their chain, their network of theaters is not large enough to threaten the movie industry. You know, if Regal, right. I mean, the fear that you worry about is that Regal is going to make movies and they're only available at Regal.
Right. So the Drafthouse films, they've been around since 2010. And it's mostly like really indie things. Like I'm looking at a lot of the films here. I don't recognize any. I know I've seen the Drafthouse logo around, but I don't recognize any of the
right.
the movies here other than Miami Connection. So anyway. So that's kind of interesting that they're taking that step out there. So.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, because we like them and because they have a high degree of respect and credibility in the industry, I think that's kind of cool. I'm excited to see. The bit about streaming movies from Lionsgate and Neon and Magnolia, that's a little bit of a misleading headline because everybody's doing that. Even Penn Cinema's doing that. It's not that big a deal. It just means that you're supporting us by streaming certain movies through us, so we get a couple bucks or a couple cents off of each download. It's not a big deal, but I guess if you're Alamo and you're doing it, maybe it's a little bit of a bigger deal than if you're Penn Cinema and you're doing it.
I didn't know you were doing that. What's
there?
That's news.
It's not that big of a deal. It's the smaller film companies that have these. I might be. It's not that we're streaming it. It's that you access the content through us. We're not really streaming anything. I don't know. I'll have to talk more about it next week. Okay. It's not a big deal. It's nothing like exciting or interesting.
Hold on. I got to take this call. Hello, big news organizations. Have I got the headline for you? Penn Cinema is now streaming their own content.
whoa. Let me be super clear. We're not streaming our own content. Although that's in the works, clearly.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. That's interesting news. So, someone else who's on a roll, just like you with your big-time streaming service. Jerry Bruckheimer. First, we got the new Top Gun. Now we have a new Beverly Hills Cop coming. But here's the big one. He's making a new National Treasure.
Oh, I'm actually psyched. I think that's great.
But not just a new National Treasure movie. Speaking with Collider, the iconic producer confirmed that the treasure hunting franchise starring Nicolas Cage will be coming back in two ways. The first one we know about in the film, and the third, and in the form of a third big screaming adventure with Cage and the original cast. The other will be a related spinoff series with a younger cast for Disney Plus. So, National Treasure babies.
I think this is the beginning, or not the beginning, the continuation of a whole new business model that Disney is Disney sort of took the lead by having some Disney Plus shows that maybe we haven't really seen anything meaningful yet, but the idea was you have the Marvel Universe and then you have these TV shows. I guess Mandalorian might be, you know, maybe the beginning of seeing something like that. But, you know, I think this is the same thing, just with a different world. So I think that's kind of cool. And I can't wait to see how it plays out. I would definitely watch it. The National Treasure franchise is a totally, in my opinion, a totally underrated. I like it.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's cheese.
Yeah. Along the lines of Mandalorian, some news came out this week that I think is fantastic. Boba Fett will be in the next season, and they got the guy who played Jango Fett to play him in the series, which is great since he's supposed to be a clone, that they don't have some other guy who doesn't look anything like him playing him.
So yeah, that's cool.
Awesome. So, all right. All right, Sylvester Stallone, the man, the myth, the legend. He put out on Instagram this week that when asked about whether or not there'd be more Demolition Man, he said they're working on it. Him and Warner Brothers are in the process of making Demolition Man 2, the movie that Penn is constantly asking me about. Do you think there's going to be a Demolition Man 2? What are the chances? Demolition Man 2. Come on.
How much longer till Demolition 2?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always like, hey, I really enjoyed that movie last week. Yeah, but will it stack up to Demolition Man 2 when that finally comes out?
Oh, God. Are you a big fan of Demolition Man? Like,
no.
Are you?
I don't know anyone who is.
Yeah.
I always thought it was one of those, like, really cheesy movies.
I'm not positive. Now, I don't want to shock you, but I think I don't have the best memory.
What?
I know it's crazy talk, but it's true. And I say this only half sure of myself. I don't think I've ever seen Demolition Man.
That's one with Spike. It's who's in Demolition Man? It's
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I saw it when I was a kid. Did it come out in the '80s?
Nineties, early nineties.
No, I definitely didn't see it.
Yeah, you were too busy almost raising the kids and stuff.
Yeah, I was catching the Grateful Dead.
That's it. All right, hit me with some of this hard pressing stuff.
All right, so I got a bunch of Penn Cinema news, but before I get to that, I just want to say, I want to publicly change my opinion about Reese Witherspoon. I've always liked her, but I've always been a little bit like rolling my eyes, and I feel like I have not given her the credit that perhaps she is due. And I watched some, I don't even know, Amy was watching some morning show, and it was like a Sunday morning talk show or something. And I don't even know what show it was, but Reese Witherspoon was on it. And I listened to the whole interview. And when I start to look at her body of work, it's pretty freaking impressive, pretty intelligent. You know, you think about it, she starred in and produced Wild, based on the book by Cheryl Strayer, or Cheryl Strayed.
Based on the book by Sapphire.
Yeah, I mean, it's really... Wait, what?
I just made a push joke from, like, 20-whatever. Push based on the book by Sapphire. Remember when that was a thing? They couldn't mention the title of the movie without saying it was based on the book. Anyway.
Anyway, whatever. So I'm just saying, like, I'm excited to see what Reese Witherspoon does. And part of the interview was that she was talking about making movies in the, you know, in the quarantine. And that got me thinking, it's going to be really interesting to see, first of all, movies that are made in quarantine, but also like, I mean, superheroes and horror movies and all that kind of stuff, that's whatever. But when are we going to get our first movie about COVID-19?
Ooh.
I mean, and the first one is definitely going to be a drama.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be some heart-wrenching story. But then, like, a few movies, or I should say the first few are going to be heart-wrenching dramas. But then after that, like, it's going to be fascinating to see, like, movies that are set in the year 2020, you know, and yeah. how do you film that? How do you account for that? How do you, you know, I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to watch a movie with two people on a Zoom call.
Oh, you mean you don't want to watch the horror movie that takes place during the Zoom call?
Right.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be a new class for acting on how to act with only the upper half of your face since you're covered with a mask?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all that stuff comes into play. You know, it's wild. I said something, we had the popcorn pickup this weekend, and I handed the customer, and we had a little, I forget what, a little exchange. And as I was walking away, I realized that she couldn't tell, like, by you lose so much context, you know, with having a mask on. Are you grinning? Are you smirking? Are you serious? You know, and you have to be sensitive to that now when you're interacting in public, because, you know, a lot of times you can say something, especially like me, I tend to be like a smartass, and you say something, and if they can't see you grinning, you better not say it.
I'm sorry, you're a what? You just put the glasses back on. Get out of my face.
All right. Penn Cinema News.
Yeah.
Now, remind me, what have I said in public about the drive-in?
You said, not going to happen.
Okay.
You said, this crazy, they never organized the bathrooms. I'd never gone back on my word before, and I never will.
Right. Okay, so Penn Cinema's going to do a drive-in.
What?
I felt like it had been too long since I totally reversed myself on a big, bold statement.
Yeah, clearly.
Clearly. So, no, but all kidding aside, we're all in. We're buying a large screen. We're not even going to do it like half-assed, like on the side of the building. We're going to do it. I'm working with the township and working with the airport to make sure everything's kosher. Drew and I are working through the technical specifications. We're picking up our screen on Monday. And we'll begin like testing it. And, you know, we don't want to do it like, what I'm not going to do is something like halfway, like hang a sheet off the side of the building, you know, and like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right. I don't have a confirmed, I shouldn't have said confirmed. I don't even have like a pretend date, right?
Right.
But let me say this. Sony is working on a big project for June 8th, which is a Monday, where they are promoting the new Ghostbusters by doing a national campaign to show the original Ghostbusters at drive-in movie theaters across the country.
Okay.
So we might, I mean, that would be a logical place to start.
Yeah.
You know, a few weeks more, you know, a few weeks safer from today. And I don't know what the world's going to look like on June 8th. But if it makes any kind of sense, we're going to do it. We think it's not only fun and a safe way, you know, that we can all see movies together with some social distancing, but also I think it's a fun thing that in general. So, you know, for example, can we get start a portable movie series where we take the Penn Cinema experience on the road and, you know, temporarily set it up in a local park or a local, you know, public space and have some fun with it and really sort of celebrate the fun experience of doing the drive-in without actually building and, committing to a full-time permanent drive-in, but set it up in a way that we can have that experience, from time to time and have some fun with it when it makes sense.
How are you going to do audio?
Well, there's three places where you can get audio, and we're not resolved. We're not 100% how we're going to do this, but we have a speaker system that we can set up next to the screen and amplify it like just through the air, like just almost like at a concert. Uh-huh. The second thing is we're working on a system where the content streams to your phone so that you can plug your phone into a speaker, whether it's your car speaker or a portable, you know, one of those, what do you call it? It's just a Bluetooth speaker.
Right.
And the third is through the FM radio, you know, like the old days.
Yeah.
Run it through your car. I think the second one, the Bluetooth streaming it to your phone, probably makes the most sense because it gives you the greatest variety of options. So some combination of all three, or maybe all three of them. You know, we'll see. But Drew's taking the lead on working through the technical stuff, and our friend at 30 West Entertainment, Timmy, he's involved helping us sort of think through some of the process, and our friend Chris. And so, yeah.
So I hear a lot of talk, but what I'm really hearing is live Penn Cinema podcast show before the movie.
What?
Is that what I'm really hearing?
Broadcast 100%.
Right to your car, get your audio set up and test it while you can listen to us talk. Perfect the mundo. Okay, well, that about does us for news. We actually have some trailers this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. We're going to start it off with The King of Staten Island, which I think you mentioned before, but I actually naturally saw the trailer yesterday, and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. Straight to streaming, but it is who's
Pete
directing?
Davidson.
Yeah, is it Judd Apatow movie?
Yeah, right? Judd Apatow, Pete Davidson. This is it's rated R, as it has to be if it's going to have Pete Davidson in it.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be one of those movies where we know Judd Apatow and we know Pete Davidson. We know they're hilarious. And I think there's going to be a lot of laugh out loud stuff.
Yeah.
But I also think it's going to be a really powerful, sort of heavy movie. I can't wait. I'm going to watch it the first day that it's available. I'm a big Pete Davidson fan to begin with. The dude is an incredibly talented comedian. And from the looks of the trailer, I mean, just at first glance, it seems like he's also a talented actor.
It looks surprisingly touching.
Yeah.
Yeah. About losing a father to a fire and then maybe choosing the same career or hating that career for a while and then coming around to understanding it.
You know the premise, right? His dad, Pete Davidson's real life father, died in the 9/11 attacks.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And I think that this film is sort of based on, I'm not saying that it's like autobiographical, but it's a similar, you know.
Right. Interesting.
Same concept. Yeah.
What do we have
next? So The King of Staten Island, great trailer, comes out in June. I can't wait.
Yeah. We follow that up with a movie called Becky. It's funny. All of their other movies are about one single name for a lady, Becky.
Is this our friend Becky?
Yeah. It's Black Bumper Becky, the movie.
Black Bumper Becky.
Yeah. And it stars Joel McHale and surprisingly Kevin James as a bad guy, which I'm totally down to see. I'm totally down for that. And it's about a 13-year-old girl with violence tendencies, and then her family gets semi-kidnapped, and so she goes crazy on everything, the bad guy and stuff. I don't know if I want to see it, but it looked interesting.
I definitely want to see it. Okay. I think it looks amazing.
Okay. All right.
When does it come out? Or is it out? Or what's the deal?
It said it's not out yet. Let me check. It's coming. It's like right on our doorstep. Let's see here.
There's a great exchange where Kevin James, as the bad guy, is like, has her like semi-cornered, and he's like, "Listen, Becky, I don't want to hurt you." And then the camera goes to her, and she's like, "Oh, but I want to hurt you."
Yeah.
This chick is ready for battle. You know, she's ready to rock.
Yeah, yeah. The actress's name is Lulu Wilson. She looks familiar, but I don't know that I've ever seen her in anything. But yeah, it comes out June 5th.
On what? Whatever.
Whatever. Okay. Whatever will take it, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think it looks... This will be the first time ever that Kevin James is not playing Doug Heffernan.
In every role that he's played, he's always that character.
Everything he's ever done is Doug Heffernan.
Yeah.
Doug Heffernan with Adam Sandler, Doug Heffernan in California, you know, whatever. It's all Doug Heffernan.
He's the King of Queens.
I love it. So they should have Doug Heffernan in... I just realized, the King of Staten Island... Now we got the King of Queens. Next year we'll have the King of Brooklyn.
When do they fight?
Oh man, that would be great.
Yeah.
All right. Shirley, another horror movie It's starring Elizabeth Moss, who obviously is incredible. We know she's incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Would you call this a horror movie?
I'm gonna say suspense.
Thriller. It's
thriller.
A thriller.
Thriller. There you go.
Yeah.
Because it's about a horror writer. So it has horror aspects in it, but I think it's more about how this young couple comes to kind of rent a room or stay with Elizabeth Moss's character and her husband, and she's a horror writer. And both her and her husband, I guess, kind of start playing psychological games with these younger couple.
Yeah.
So it looks intense.
I just scared myself a little.
Really?
Because I thought I saw something in your background move, like other shoulder, like behind you the other way. And I was like, I kind of like freaked myself out a little bit. Like, holy shit, what if while I'm talking to David,
somebody breaks in. Was it my cat? Because my cat's right there.
No. It was up. It wasn't anything, but I thought I saw something. And then I started thinking about what it could have been, and I started freaking myself out. And I guess I just answered my own question. Like, the movies that are going to be set in quarantine time, like, that's the perfect way to start a horror movie. Like, two dudes chatting on Zoom. Because if that was something... And, like, if I saw somebody break into your apartment and come after you with, like, an axe, like, I'd be freaking helpless.
Yeah.
Like, what would I do? What could I do?
Right.
I'd be screaming, no!
By the time anybody got here, it'd be too late.
Yeah. You would have already killed the murderer.
Yeah. I am happy to let you know there's Prime. I got a new camera, so you have Prime cat view right there. So,
nice. Right,
that's the whole reason. So, all right. The last film we have here is called Clementine. This is an indie film that apparently won a ton of awards, according to the trailer. They kept popping up all over the place. However, it is a absolute horribly put together trailer, in my opinion. It just bounced around emotionally. Just, I don't know what they were trying to convey. But I have no interest in seeing it.
You know how I sometimes tell myself things just because I want to be positive?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's my thought on Clementine. I think the movie actually looks good to me, but I totally agree with you. I want to believe that the people making this movie just don't know how to make trailers.
I would hope that's the
deal. And this movie looks good to me. Like, I feel like this is a Sunday morning cup of coffee and a bagel by yourself in the living room movie. Like,
okay.
A little bit indie, you know, a little bit, I don't know. I don't know. I, I don't know what I'm saying. I just, you're right. The trailer is weird. Someday I may watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That about wraps it up. So we're going to move into our movie review. This week we got a big one. Because we're not reviewing one movie. We're not reviewing two movies. We're reviewing three movies. That's right. The Sam Raimi movie trilogy.
Is it Raimi or Raimi?
Pastrami. The Sam Pastrami Spider-Man trilogy. Close enough, right?
Right.
So these aren't the first modern. It's people argue about what set off the modern superhero films. Some people say it was Blade. Some people say it was X-Men.
No.
And some people say it was Spider-Man.
No.
What do you think it was?
Iron Man, 2008.
No, no. Yeah, but no, no. Iron Man is the modern, modern. This is like, it's almost like, because you know how, maybe you don't know, comics have the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, and the Gold Age. I feel like we have Batman 89 as like the classic age. of it, and then it's either, to me it's probably X-Men that brought in the next generation of these, I'm gonna call it Bronze or whatever, and we're definitely in the golden era right now, so Silver, Bronze, you know, whatever, Bronze, Silver. I feel like Spider-Man was the pinnacle of this age, because I don't really feel like, other than X-Men 2, I don't feel like any other superhero tentpoles of this type of film really held up. That said, it was incredibly obvious, both with the score and the cinematography, how influenced this movie was by previous superhero films like Batman. I don't know how you felt about that, but...
Totally.
Yeah. It's... just the way the city looks, the colors, the way the hero kind of almost feels on top of the film instead of in it in certain parts. And some of that's graphically, but I think that some of it was on purpose to give it a kind of like picture-on-picture comic feel. Let's start with the original Spider-Man. How'd you like rewatching this one?
Well, I will say that I liked rewatching all three of them. I loved it. I loved it. Like you said, it feels a lot like a comic book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it really has, like, it's really like, this is a comic book movie, you know? Which, you know, it's okay for those other movies that don't have that feel, but, I enjoyed watching that feel. It was funny because I feel like I saw some glimpses of what would come later with the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. Some of the quips, you know, some of the, you know, sort of a little bit of sarcasm, you know, but there wasn't a lot of it. You know, it wasn't funny, you know, but it was fun. So I don't know. I will say I hated it rewatching the ending as much as I hated the first time I saw the ending. Like, I just hate. Because it's so like, it's just for him to like act like he's going to walk away, you know, from the girl that he's been trying to get to his entire life since he was 6 years old, you know, or however old they were.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she finally confesses her love and he's like, nah.
Too much responsibility.
Yeah. Come on. I don't buy that for a second. And, it made it easier to watch knowing what happened in Spider-Man 2 and 3, but I still hated it.
It's rough. Here's what I got away, especially starting in this one. This version of Spider-Man cannot catch a break. And it's almost It's almost depressing how nothing ever goes right for him. He's supposed to be the everyman, you know, that everyone can relate to. But I almost feel like this version of Spider-Man, too much goes bad with him too often that you lose the ability to relate, because you're like, man, make a good decision, dude. at some point, you're like, you're doing this to yourself.
So, right. Regularly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of things I've noticed in this one is how aged the actors were. Like, clearly 10 years plus how old they should have been in high school. Like, they were,
right.
You know, there was that. I still enjoyed it a lot, although I was much more looking forward to the sequels, I guess, in this aspect. But so a couple things we had in notes here. One of the things, do you remember how this movie had to be edited for 9/11?
Yeah.
They had to take the towers out. There was like a scene where he, at least in the trailer, where he hung a helicopter in between them. But really, this one showed good superheroing for the first real good time of like flying through the city and stuff. Really good.
Yeah. I was also, you and I texted a little bit back and forth about it. I was shocked. It shows how far she has come that Elizabeth Banks had such, first of all, I forgot that she was in it.
Right.
And second of all, what a tiny role she had.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of funny how the characters in the Daily Bugle, they all come back for every movie.
Right.
Even though they all have such tiny little roles.
Right.
So.
And who could blame them? And also, let's talk for a second about, well, of course, we don't need to talk about it, but Willem Dafoe is amazing in this movie, in like every other movie he's in. But what about James Franco? Like, I forgot. Like, I mean, I didn't forget that he was in this, but he's a talented actor. It's interesting in the 10 years or 13 years since the last Spider-Man that he was in, how differently he's taken his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. He was good in this movie, though. He was, you believed him when he was being good, and you believed him when he was bad. And I don't know. I just felt like he nailed it.
Kirsten Dunst, I liked her as Mary Jane as well, although I don't know. She never seemed to be able to be happy, in all of these films. But she also took her career like in a different way.
You almost wonder if the two of them didn't enjoy, and to some degree, Tobey Maguire too. You almost wonder if the experience as an actor in being not only in those three movies, but in those three movies, which really, like you said, sort of started a whole new generation or a new age. You almost wonder if maybe the process was tough for them.
I can imagine it was. I know, I think it was the second one, between the first and the second one, Tobey Maguire hurt his back, which complicated things.
Mm.
He wasn't able to do a lot of the Spider-Man stuff anymore. They had thought about replacing him, I had heard.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't remember why, but I could be wrong about this, but I kind of remember Kirsten Dunst not enjoying the process or not liking that her character was constantly the damsel in distress, because that's really, her character is just there to be screaming in all the movies.
Right. Just there to be rescued.
Yeah.
And there's no way that plot or that script would ever see the light of day in 2020.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You ready to move on to the Spider-Man 2?
Yeah. Would you like me to summarize the plot?
Sure.
Okay. So in Spider-Man 1, at the end, MJ says, "I love you." And Peter Parker says, "Nah, brah, I'm good." And then in Spider-Man 2, Peter Parker says, just kidding, I love you too. And they live happily ever after.
That's all that happens in the whole movie.
Isn't that the gist?
It's 2 hours of him just going, "I love you."
No, I don't know. I was the love story plot. It's tempting to be distracted by, you know, like all this stuff going around with Spider-Man or whatever. But then, really, it's just him trying to get the girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Doc Ock in this. I thought that he was a good villain. I thought it was a little lame watching them just back to back, that it was like the villain again was a villain with multiple personality type thing going on as his main motivation. But the fight scenes with Spider-Man and Doc Ock were some of the best at the time around then, and they really elevated the game significantly. One of the comments I took home for about this movie was, I really like Aunt May. She's I don't know if they play her a little too old, but she just does a really good Aunt May the whole way around. This might be controversial, but I think my favorite Aunt May is Sally Fields. She just seems like the elderly, not too old, but old enough to be the aunt. Where, I guess, the current Aunt May is too. I'm getting too old because I find her attractive. So,
do you make? Does that make Forrest Gump and Peter Parker cousins?
Yeah, actually, it does. Yeah.
I don't know my literature well enough, but I'm tempted to try to dig into Doc Ock's wife, right?
Yeah.
Remember the yin and yang of like, he's a hardcore scientist and she's a literary genius who wrote some paper about T.S. Eliot or something. Like, I'd love to know what's the significance of T.S. Eliot. Like, why did whoever wrote this script zero in on that? You know, like, there's got to be some significance around choosing that iconic author as opposed to anybody else.
This for the longest time was held the like best superhero movie like title for me for a very, very long time. I feel like Marvel has hit it out of the park so consistently with the golden era that I can't say that anymore, but looking back, this was such a high note, and it held that for a long time. What year did the Dark Knight movies came out? They were after this, of course, right?
2010.
Yeah. So I think they kind of really took the title after this, but Marvel-wise, I think it wasn't until after Iron Man that they started to hold it up. Probably Avengers.
Yeah.
For me. Moving on to 2007 Spider-Man 3... the movie that killed the franchise. But surprisingly, this movie made, I think, more money than the first two, if I'm right. Could be wrong. They made a lot of money, and they were going to make a fourth one. And the only reason the fourth one didn't happen was because of Sam Pastrami and Sony not being able to tie down a script before they had to make it, and they were going to because they were going to lose the rights if they didn't make a movie in time. And so I think it was, they couldn't kind of nail it down. He wanted to go have more control because the big thing about this movie was he had an idea of what he wanted to do, and Sony had an idea of what kind of money they wanted to make, and more characters means more toys, which means more money. And so they wanted more villains in it, more this, more that. They wanted all the things. Fans want Venom, put Venom in there. Fans want this, you know, put this in there. And it really just kind of got bogged down. Rewatching this third one, though, it's not all bad. Like, some of the ideas seem, they start off really good. Like, the Harry losing his memory, like, is a nice subplot. And the villain of the Sandman is, like, a compelling villain. Like, he's the best part of the movie. I think if it was just those two and just those two stories, this movie would have been a lot better. But then sandwiching in the whole symbiote suit and Venom in there. And Venom doesn't show up till the last like 30 minutes of this film.
Which I was okay with.
Right. Because he's also
not that
great. You like that?
Yeah, I did.
Venom? I don't know. He didn't live up to my Venom desires, but neither did the movie Venom, so what do you want to say?
You are impossible.
I am. This movie's not as bad as we give it. I think one of the big turnoffs is the whole Parker going bad and how they did that aspect, like the dancing in the street and like that montage.
The montage was like okay, and then that should have been the end of it. But that scene where he like takes over her singing in the cafe and like ruins it and is jumping on the bar and kicking people over and then he like that was too much. That was no good.
That was too much. Yeah. They could have done another way to show that he had lost control. I didn't like that he hit her. I thought that was that bothered me even as when this originally came out.
Yeah, totally. And you know, like I don't know, but I just feel like that's you don't overcome that. Like I feel like once you hit somebody, that's pretty much the end of your relationship.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. One of the things, one of the ways this movie did confuse me, and this is just in my brain that I'm going to share with you for hopefully a laugh. Mary Jane Watson, the comic character, and then thus the film adaptation, has a lot to do with my love of redheads. And so I was like, oh, Kirsten Dunst is a redhead. Beautiful. And then you have bring in, why is her name escaping me? The girl who played Gwen Stacy?
Oh, yeah. Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard, who is a redhead, now playing a blonde and stunningly beautiful in the movie. And my brain's like, I can't. What's going
on? Overload.
Yeah.
She was great, too, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, I thought she was great. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I totally agree with you. I didn't like the dancing and the fight and all that kind of stuff, but I liked this movie a lot more than I remembered liking it.
Yeah. One of the things that I really, really, really liked about this third one, I think that might be the best of all three, is the Spider-Man aerial like combat and just like saving people and stuff. Like that is...
Yeah.
Like when he saves Gwen Stacy from falling from the building and he's like launching himself off of falling debris and swinging in between and stuff. That was really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Although I will note, he shows up to this thing where this crane is going crazy, saves one girl from falling and then swings away. It's like, what about the crane? He didn't stop the crane. I was like, wait, what? So...
Yeah, that's fair.
So if you haven't seen these movies, they are a good watch, even the third one. Yeah. So we're on board, right?
We're on board. Loved it. Yep.
Cool. All right. Moving on to listener notes, questions, answers, comments, and jabs at us. What do we have here?
The Mystery Gobble wrote in and shared with us a news article about Lynch's Dune. I didn't quite know how to read that. What did you think of that?
Well, here's
did you click on the link and read it?
No, because, and here's why.
Tell me why.
I hate David Lynch's Dune with an extreme passion. Look, I have a podcast called the Dune Saga Podcast where we reviewed the books and the movies and we've talked to the creators, Sun and all this stuff. And David Lynch's Dune, I hate the movie so much. I've got so much to say. You can listen to our podcast on it, dunesagapodcast.com. Find the episode on David Lynch's Dune. But I don't understand why Frank Herbert thought it was such a good adaptation of his book when it's such not a good adaptation of his book. And I get angry that people think that that's what Dune is because they've never read the book. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I've seen the movie. I get what it's... It's nothing like the book. It just doesn't... There's no rain on Arrakis. It doesn't make any sense. The stupid shields. There's no magic word that you can say that kills people. That was totally made up. It makes me so angry. The only thing worse is if Hodorowski's Dune would have been an actual movie that came out, because that was even more of like a mind frill. But so the article was like 8 things we loved about David Lynch's Dune and 5 things we don't. And I'm more like, how about 100 things we don't like about David Lynch's Dune? And let's never talk about it again.
100 things we hate about it and 0 things we like about it.
0 things we like about it. Yeah.
Hashtag goose eggs. All right. Well, Gobble, thanks for sharing that, because I love watching this. If you could just see how upset David is right now.
I just don't like it. Okay.
But how do you really feel, David? Just, I mean, it's just you and me. It's just us.
That's personal. I can't share.
All right. Our boy Curtis Zimmerman also wrote in with his top 10 list. I love these top 10 lists. And I thought it was funny and I could totally relate. He said, here's my top 10 list. And then he said something like, I don't want to admit how long it took me to come up with this. Right? I mean, did you find the same when you did your list?
Yeah, it took way too long. And I kept making changes.
It would be interesting a year from now, without cheating and looking back, we should write our top 10 list.
Try and do it again.
Forget a year from now. This afternoon, I'll bet you if I sat down and wrote my top 10 list, it would be 10 different movies.
Yeah.
So, understanding, you know, we're not going to hold anyone to their top 10 list forever, but Curtis's top 10 list reads as such. Shawshank Redemption, which I love the fact that this is a New England movie. Shawshank Redemption is an amazing film. I love it. Edge of Tomorrow. I believe that's the Tom Cruise movie with Emily Blunt. Love that movie. Of course, Alien.
Yeah. Some people know Edge of Tomorrow as Kill, Die, Repeat. That's what it was released as on video.
Oh.
It wasn't called Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Edge of Tomorrow. I love the premise.
Yeah.
Alien, whatever, that goes without saying. Gladiator goes without saying. Although we don't talk much about, why am I blanking on his name? I can picture him. Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
What's he doing? We don't hear much about Russell Crowe these days.
He hasn't, you keep going on this, I'll look him up. He hasn't done a lot that I can think of.
Yeah. So whatever, Gladiator definitely deserves to be on a top 10 list. That's an epic all-time movie. Live Free or Die Hard. And short-term 12, he has number 5 on his all-time list. I thought that was interesting. You remember, this is the guy that wrote us a few weeks ago about watching that. About Time, love that movie. Instant Family. What?
Instant Family?
I love the movie Instant Family. I watched it. I think
That's
we talked
Mark
about
Wahlberg,
this a
right?
few. What's that?
That's Mark Wahlberg, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
about this, and I think I said I really liked it, and I enjoyed it, and I watched it with the girls, and they enjoyed it too, and that's all good, but number 3 on your top 10 list?
Hey, man, I love what they love.
Honestly, I would make the same face I'm making now if you told me it was number 10 on your top 10 list.
Some people love the Wahlberg, man. Maybe Zimmy Boy, maybe he's got kids and he relates, or maybe he's adopted and relates, or maybe he met Mark Wahlberg one time, or...
All right, man. I mean, I'm no one to judge, because whatever, but I'm saying Instant Family, number 3 on your top 10 list. All right. Now, number 2 I got no problem with, Remember the Titans. Oh, man. Yeah. Such a great movie. Remember the Titans is one of those movies I always forget to watch it. Like, I always forget how much I enjoy. And it's a moving. I mean, I think I sometimes cry when I watch this movie. Like, Remember the Titans is intense. It's a great movie. And number 1 movie of all time, Jurassic Park.
Nice.
Yeah, I got no problem with that pick. Yeah. I got no problem with that whatsoever. Jurassic Park is great. I don't quite know how to put it, but I think Jurassic Park is up there with, like, Star Wars, Avengers. Like, you always forget it because it's dinosaurs. You know what I mean? But, man, what a great movie, Jurassic Park. Amy and I watched Jurassic Park at a drive-in. Speaking of drive-ins.
Whoa.
We saw it at some drive-in up near Reading, I think, years ago.
Wow. So looking here at Russell Crowe, he's got some movies planned to come out this year. Last thing that I remember him in was The Mummy. As Jekyll and Hyde.
Okay.
But the last movie I remember him being good in came out the year before that, and it was The Nice Guys. Do you remember that movie?
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, let's move on to what are you reading, what are you doing, what are you watching, how are you holding yourself together?
Well, the girls and I watched the entire Dead to Me season two in almost one sitting. We tore ourselves away. We watched season two, and then with two episodes left, we decided to call it a night only because we were upset that we were almost done with the whole season. So we wanted to make it last an extra day. So, but we all said we really liked it. We're big fans of Dead to Me. So if you're not a big fan, I recommend it. It's great binge TV. And we loved how it ends. I won't say how it ends, but the ending is of season two is perfect. But it was interesting. Like you watch a whole season and there's not any like huge major plot turns. So whatever, we watch that. We're still watching Reba. Our friend from Zootropolis, Chayla, gave me the tip. Did you ever hear of this German TV series called Dark?
It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix, and it has some time. It's a little bit... Marley said, oh, that's that show that's like Stranger Things.
I had heard that it was equated to that, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, well, I highly recommend it. I haven't watched much of it, but I've watched the first two episodes, and it's amazing.
Is it in German?
So you can get it with dubbed in English, but on Chayla's advice, I'm watching it in German with English subtitles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
So anyway, that's what I'm up to.
Cool. I read The Dark Knight Returns by Mark Millar, I believe it is, the book.
Oh.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's. I don't really like the art in it, but it's a good look at... I don't know if you're familiar with that whole... The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Returns.
A little bit, books. Yeah.
Interesting world where, like, superheroes have been pushed away and the whole Eastern Seaboard is powered for free. And then you discover that it's the Flash running in a gerbil circle thing all the time powering the whole Eastern Seaboard. Anyway, I read that. It was pretty good. And I finished Westworld Season 3, which... I really enjoyed this season. I did feel like the ending, I don't know, it's still sitting with me. Not sure what I liked about it and what I didn't. It just didn't, I wasn't 100% satisfied. I'm really curious to see where the show goes from here, though.
Okay.
So, and that's about it, because other than that, I watched the Spider-Man movies. And
yeah.
I've been playing a game called Sea of Thieves, which is my, like, big go-to game. It's where you're a pirate, so... That's about that. So next week, I think we talked about reviewing off of our Jason the Goonies fan Supreme Neverending Story.
Yeah, great.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so next week we'll be talking about Neverending Story. Let us know what you thought of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films, or if you prefer the Andrew Garfield version of the films. I'd like to hear about that. Go ahead and email us podcast@penncinema.com. And if you want to tell us what you think would be the most fun for us to talk about at our live drive-in episode, you can also do that. And the number one way you can support us is just tell a friend, hey, you bored at home? You need something to listen to? Now's the time to get into the Penn Cinema podcast. These guys are bored at home, too.
We can all be bored together.
Yeah. So, once again, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.